Welcome to the What I Learned in History Class podcast for the week of March 6th through the 10th. I'm Carson Roberts, and today I'll be your one and only host over the Cold War. For a brief moment, before we jump into discussion, let us take a quick trip back in time into the Cold War era. World War II has just ended, and the United States of America has grown into by far the world's strongest power, due to its destructive war forces, manufacturing capabilities, and most significantly to this conversation, its possession of the atomic bomb. The only power in the vicinity of our nation that has any chance at competition is the Soviet Union, who desires a world order modeled by their own society and values, as do we, the United States. Two heads are beginning to collide, and they don't look to be easing up anytime soon. Freedom is becoming an inescapable theme of our society's culture, as it is this concept among many others that plays a crucial part in why this war exists. On this week's podcast, I'll be diving into the effect of the Cuban Missile Crisis on the Cold War, analyzing and summarizing a scholarly article on said subject, and conducting a Q&A session with my teacher, Mr. Sanders. The nuclear bomb was invented in New Mexico, July 1945, as a result of the authorization of the Manhattan Project by President FDR. Roosevelt had been warned by Einstein 6 years prior that Nazi scientists had been attempting to develop an atomic weapon, and that America would be smart to do likewise. Only 1 month after the invention of the first atomic bomb and its testing, a nuke was dropped in both Hiroshima and Nagasaki, killing a majority of the city's population and costing an incredible sum of money and infrastructure damage, as well as economic setback. However, the threat of such weapons and their presence will not disappear, as they will become a key feature in the Cold War. These weapons of mass destruction will be waved around like toys, keeping the world on its toes and the conversation of World War III on the table, giving deja vu from another war featuring the fear of death and totalitarianism. As the relationship between the USA and the USSR, two of the world's powerhouses, deteriorated, the installation of the Berlin Wall in August of 1961 between East and West Berlin created an iron curtain that solidified the separation of communism and democracy in Europe. The wall was more than a barrier to fleeing immigrants, but a distinct symbol of the Cold War and the divisions of Europe. Beyond this, I will be diving into the Cuban Missile Crisis, a childhood obsession of mine. I have always been fascinated by the dangerous line in the sand, not the Alamo, but the Cold War, which line could arguably be replaced by the Iron Curtain and soared by the atomic bomb. In the following year, the Kennedy administration would face one of the most dangerous crises in not only the Cold War, but arguably American history. In October 1962, American spy planes discovered Soviet Union missiles being installed in Cuba, a country that easily put America in the range of USSR-owned destructive nuclear weapons. Our country could be one push of a button away from obliteration, a complete reconstruction of history and life as we know it. Kennedy had been backed into a corner and left with few and risky options. Military leaders suggested the authorization of attack on Cuba, which may have sparked a nuclear World War III. Instead, Kennedy decided to block off the island and demand the missiles' removal. For nearly 2 weeks, 13 days in exact, the United States stood like a cowboy in the middle of a street, each country with a hand hot on their weapons. These days ticked by at a pace that felt like years, leaving Americans on the edge of their seat, watching for an all-out nuclear war. After a series of hidden conversations and negotiations, Soviet Premier Nikita would withdraw his missiles, but America would pay a price. Kennedy would promise not to take over Cuba, and he would withdraw his missiles over the Soviets by covertly removing American Jupiter missiles from Turkey. This event is significant because it lessened Kennedy's desire towards the Cold War by exposing him to the potential brutality and mass death that results from nuclear war. For Army generals, these actions were merely looked at as numbers, statistics, board pieces, a win without consideration of cost. But these were millions of living human beings with families and emotions, and it was this that Kennedy had real emotion and empathy for. and it was this that brought him to realize the magnitude of the situation. This event, believe it or not, brought eventual peace and a mutual relationship between the two countries. Each would eventually vow to ban testing of nuclear weapons in the atmosphere as well as space, the first movement at all in the entirety of the war, especially towards agreement.
We're now almost 80 years after the development of the world's first nuclear weapons of Fat Man and Little Boy. Do you feel the threat of nuclear weapons is something only associated with the 1940s, 50s, and 60s during that height of the Cold War? Or is it still a threat to your generation? And then after you answer that question, Carson, one more question. As you read about the Cuban Missile Crisis and the threat from the Soviet Union faced by America back in 1962, it could draw comparisons to recent spying threats over the U.S. with that Chinese air balloon that was tracked and eventually shot down over U.S. airspace. Could you compare the recent spy concerns in American headlines to that Cuban Missile Crisis of 62? Is that a fair comparison?
I feel that nuclear weapons are still a threat beyond the Cold War and even our generation, especially due to the widespread availability of technology, making international drama, if you want to call it that, more prone, and its conversation more well known as fears amplified and exposed by the internet and popular media. Just a couple weeks ago, I saw a clip of North Korean leader Kim Jong-un showing off his impressive and frightening inventory of nuclear weapons. This is especially scary because of the deteriorating and deepening tension between North Korea and its neighbors and the United States, making the possibility of such weapons being deployed a lot closer to reality than we are comfortable with. There are more nukes now than ever before, and the availability of such weapons is not something that we should forget about, as our planet holds the power to destroy itself, and foreign affairs could easily make a turn for the worse, as they are already questionable. I cannot compare the recent spy concerns in American headlines to the magnitude of the Cuban Missile Crisis in 1962 because the comparison is not fair. The spy activities that were associated with the missile crisis found valuable and threatening information that ultimately caused real action via the quarantine of Cuba by the United States and the threat of invasion. Keep in mind, the Cold War had already been going on for roughly 15 years, and the tensions between the two were already building and noted. On the other hand, the recent spy balloon events really posed no threat to our safety when compared to the crisis. In reality, the Chinese more than likely spy on our country all the time, yet it goes undetected or unnotified to the public. A single balloon is nowhere near comparable to the discovery of nuclear bombs that stood within arm's reach of our country. While each event may include the spying of one nation on another, the historical situation and the resulting action of these undercover activities are so far separate in both time and magnitude that they can only be looked at individually. Well, it looks like we're running out of time here in the studio today, but make sure to tune back into What I Learned in History Class podcast next week, as our next segment will cover America in the 1950s. I'm today's host, Carson Roberts, once again, and I want to send a big thank you out to Give Me Liberty in American History, Siegel Volume 2, by Eric Foner, and the author of today's analyzed piece, John Garnett, who wrote Face to Face with Armageddon. That's all I have left here today. Thank you for listening, and remember to have a good one.